Do you find yourself getting overwhelmed by the sheer number of details that have to be handled to just sort of maybe get some of this stuff off the ground in a way that's going to be contaminated and make the results lopsided? Like, we are playing games right now, and what we're basically conceding, given the number of unknowns, is this will not in any way, in anywhere that you're looking, lead to a measurement that makes you feel like it's a true champion. Like, we are headed to a place right. where it's not about determining the best team because it's merit. It's who's going to be able to withstand all the crud that's coming, all the unknown crud that's coming your way that may or may not knock out somebody like a Greek Freak for 2 weeks. All the unknowns that are headed this way, we are there. We could get random champions. It could have next to nothing to do with 60 baseball games with who the best baseball team is. And the thing I wanted to ask you as we head down this conversational path, Stugatz, is whatever you imagine to be the most disastrous of the scenarios, as you hear about $150 million bubble and already there's contamination, already there are positive tests and nobody's even gotten there yet, really, is do you hear anybody saying right now, in our world, stridently, and vigorously, we shouldn't come back because if something disastrous happens, a whole lot of people are going to tell you, I told you so, and I don't feel like I'm hearing from them right now. I know I'm not saying this. Mina Kimes is going to join us.
Right.
I think, let's find out what it is that she has to say about this as she's gotten a promotion here for her dream job.
Because I want sports, Dan. I really, really do. But I'm telling you, having spent a couple of days in that area, there are so many concerns. NBA players, three-day seminar they have to sit through to learn all the rules of the bubble, which that concerns me. All of it concerns me. There's so many rules and guidelines they're going to have to follow. But having been up there recently, no one is taking it seriously. Nobody. I'm not talking about the people inside the bubble. They may very well be taking it very seriously. I'm talking about the public. There is nobody wearing masks. There is nobody practicing social distancing. I'm sorry. I was just there.
Mina, do you hear anybody? Thank you for joining us. Do you hear anybody saying strongly and firmly, in our world, don't come back, you shouldn't come back?
You mean in the world of sports media? Yeah, it's a minority, though. But I think we sort of have to reframe the discussion and the stakes. This isn't about crowning a champion. It's not about giving us our sports. I mean, it is, right, to fans and up to a lot of analysts. But to these leagues and teams, it's about staying in business. It's the same debate that's happening across America as we look at companies and small businesses and various industries that are suffering from this, suffering rightly, suffering for reasons of public health. But it's not a matter of, okay, these people need to drink. These young people want to go out and eat. When we're having this like serious discussion about why are we doing this, they're doing it to save jobs. And I'm not saying that I agree with that necessarily. In many cases, absolutely not. And I think it's sacrificing public health. But that's the debate that's happening around sports. We're not just talking about athletes, Dan. Like, these industries support thousands upon thousands of people. And as these leagues consider whether to come back or how to salvage some of their revenue, that's what's at stake for them. I think sometimes that's a little bit lost in this.
Mina Kimes with us. And again, if you're not familiar, she is now, what is your official title? Are you an NFL correspondent? NFL analyst? Like, have you been given, was there a letter sent to you in which you were given an official title?
Do you have to give up former senior writer title? Like, do you turn in one title for a new title?
Ooh. I actually haven't thought about that. Yeah, they give me actually a jersey that says NFL analyst. I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, my God. So jealous. Can you get me one?
I can't believe that this is your dream job. You are so strange. You are such a strange human
being.
Not
to me.
You can have any job that you want at the company, and you decided to go sit next to Keyshawn Johnson to break down film.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
What can you tell us about what you're going to be doing? Are you guys going to do a different kind of show? Please, dear God, tell me we don't have to all bend on bent knee and genuflect in front of the NFL. Are you guys going to do a show like the NFL Network does where they actually have fun doing this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be... So I'm actually not on most days with Keyshawn. It's me, Laura Rutledge is hosting, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, a bit of Ryan Clark in the mix as well, which is great. And yeah, it's more of a... It's a discussion show, right? It's going to be an hour every weekday and talking about everything NFL. Obviously, there's going to be some X's and O's stuff, which I know you absolutely love, Dan, and that's what you're waiting for with bated breath. But there'll also be discussion of... NFL stories and issues and the kind of things we talk about on HQ as well. By the way, I'm still on HQ. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I do know. I do know that you're still on Highly.
We're talking about it like I'm leaving you. It's kind of stressing me out.
We're very happy for you that not a lot of people get to do their strange dream job. Wish you've climbed at the company very quickly, and now you end up in this place where you say I don't like X's and O's, but I'll disagree with you there. If I could learn something watching, and Edge NFL matchup was something that I learned from all the time.
Consistently, Dan likes learning. He does. Well, it's the mindlessness of some of these shows that drives me crazy.
Yes, it's the guy who will tell you about what his theory is on who's going to win that I hate. But if you could teach me why it is that a bubble route is the right thing to call in this situation, like that's the stuff I want to learn because I don't feel like we get nearly enough of it on TV.
Here's what you're not going to hear on the new NFL Live. This quarterback is a winner. Okay, stuff like that. Like if you're going to hear, I hope. A much more sophisticated. I mean, we're going to really dig into the football of it all. And I do hope people learn something. And Dan, you know, I love all the numbers, nerd stuff. And I hope to bring that to the show as well. It's what I'm passionate about as much as the game itself. And I'm really excited to talk about it.
What do you make of the removal of preseason games? Like, are you optimistic that we're going to have a season? If you had to choose one, optimistic or pessimistic? I know you're hopeful. Which would you choose on an NFL season right now?
Well, I think optimistic is the wrong word because that would suggest I feel good about it. I think the NFL season is going to happen for the reasons I talked about at the beginning here, which is simply the bottom line. I think they're going to find a way to make it happen. We use the words too big to fail, and I think those are false, right? Because it suggests that any of this, you know, it's just uncancelable and they're going to make it happen no matter what, as though we have any control over this virus. But I think the incentives to keep football going in some capacity are a lot bigger than the incentives around other sports. And again, it's not just because, you know, your uncle who says football like wants to watch. It's because of the dollar figures and jobs at stake around this particular industry. I think most coaches don't even want to play four preseason games to begin with. So right now the NFL is making easy decisions. Like, did anyone care? Did you see a single human being who said, oh no, don't take away the two preseason games other than me? Cause you know, that's work for me, but it didn't happen. So I really think it's going to happen. I think it's possible it could be delayed, Dan, given some of the health stuff happening around the country and the fact that these games are happening around the country and it's not in a bubble, but I think we're going to get a season.
Mina, what were your thoughts with Cam Newton going to the Patriots? And do you have a theory as to why only two teams expressed any sort of interest in Cam Newton?
It's so complicated.
It's weird.
Obviously, the health issue is... the first thing, I'm pumped for a million football nerd reasons. It's the most brilliant head coach... one of the most brilliant offensive coordinators of football and a quarterback who can do things that I had never seen before when he came to the league. Yeah, so I'm pumped to see how all that comes together right now. That's what I'm thinking about, and I'm plotting and looking at Cam's past games and Josh McDaniels' past games and thinking about how it all comes together. But why he fell into their lap is a really fascinating question. I think some of it has to do with his health, undoubtedly. Some of it is because... There have always been misperceptions, false narratives about Cam. A lot of it since he played college football, a lot of it's been coded and absolutely ridiculous. And I think there are undoubtedly owners around the NFL who believe those things and buy into it. But a huge thing, and I'm surprised more people don't talk about this, teams often don't want to bring a quarterback into their locker room who's better than their young starter. I realize that sounds bananas because we think of football as being a meritocracy, even though it quite clearly isn't. Just look at the decisions made by every organization over the last 20 years. But there are a lot of teams around the NFL who have entrenched starters, especially young ones on rookie contracts, who would clearly benefit from an upgrade in Cam Newton, or should at least have taken a flyer on them. But they don't want to bring that variable into the locker room because he's clearly the better option. And when you do that, you blow it up because you make it the second your young quarterback has a bad game. It's very obvious that you should go to Cam Newton, and they're not ready to do that. And I think there's probably at least a handful of teams around the league who found themselves in that position.
I want to talk to you about this some more. Do you have to go right now? If you do, it's okay. But no. If you have another segment, I'd like to talk to you about the idea of coaches falling into the trap of underestimating Cam Newton.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They will help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We'll continue with Mina Kimes here in just a second. It's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So we are headed on to vacation after today, but Juju Gotti will be running all of the social and media accounts while we are gone. We have employed Juju Gotti during the pandemic after listeners of ours allegedly got him let go from his job, and so he is handling all social media over the next 10 days.
A vacation to nowhere. Thank you to Juju Gotti for doing that, but a vacation nonetheless that I sorely need. I ain't going anywhere. It's a vacation from Bradenton. I went to Bradenton, and I need a vacation after I went there and a shower and a bath.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you've taken any of those things. You look particularly haggard. I wanted to get in with Mina Kimes to the conversation that we were having about Cam Newton. So are you telling me that you're of the opinion that people, because I want to get into what you were saying about meritocracy in football in the last 20 years of decisions, but you're of the opinion that there are people who are paid to hire quarterbacks who can't see that Cam Newton is clearly a very intelligent football player and that they might be assigning all sorts of other stuff that doesn't have to do with football to indict him in terms of an intelligent football player?
All right, if you're a sports fan listening at home and you think every team is always trying to do whatever it takes to win every season, you might want to cover your ears. Look at Jacksonville. Look at the Chargers. Both teams that quite obviously would benefit from having Cam Newton on their rosters, right? In Jacksonville, you've got a team which has Gardner Minshew that's clearly not optimized to win this season. I know it's shocking, but sometimes football teams do that. In the Chargers, you've got a team that's actually really good and should be competing, but at some point decided we're going to draft a rookie quarterback in Justin Herbert in the first round, and we're going to eventually put him in the position to succeed Tyrod Taylor. That team doesn't want Cam Newton in their locker room, Dan, okay? Because if he's there, you think Justin Herbert's going to hit the field? You think he's going to benefit from that comparison? This happens all the time in the NFL, and I'm not even saying it's like devious, right? I talked earlier about how some owners, I think, have bought into sort of coded descriptions of Cam Newton. That's not what I'm saying is happening in this case. I'm talking about football teams deciding this is our plan, this is our cycle, this is our timeline, and Cam Newton did not fit into some of those plans.
Mina, but with the NFL the way it is, with the game being bigger, faster, stronger, injuries more common, like, I think the Saints have done a great job in terms of if Breeze goes down, they have Hill, they also have Jameis Winston. And so I understand not bringing Cam maybe into a situation where you have a rookie quarterback, but how about a team like the Jets where Sam Darnold has had 2 years already? You bring Cam in. If Cam wins the starting job, great. If he doesn't, God forbid Sam gets hurt or gets mono again, then Cam Newton is there to back him up. What confuses me is why NFL coaches struggle with, if they want to do it because it makes their team better, struggle with bringing that guy into their environment.
Do you believe coaches or GMs are dismissing Cam Newton because of his press conferences or, you know, the echoes of his press conferences?
I think some of them are. I think some of them are, they think he's too big of a quote-unquote locker room presence. It's so funny to me, by the way, that sort of conversation came up at the same time that Tom Brady is out here quoting FDR to justify his workouts and, you know, commenting on Julian Edelman's page. Like, that dude loves attention more than anyone, right? And yet it's Cam Newton who's this attention-mongering presence in the locker room because he deigns to wear a foxtail hanging from his, you know, belt or whatever. That I'm sure I got that wrong. But I think that affects some perceptions.
It's the hat.
I think
it's the hat, Mina.
It's the hat.
The hat is the thing most likely to have a foxtail on it.
I just want to say, I do think that that is secondary to what I described earlier, which is teams have very clear, like if a GM drafts a quarterback in the NFL, we've seen this time and time again, they will not give up on that quarterback. You mentioned the Jets, Stu. The Jets are one of those teams that I never thought they would bring in Cam Newton because they want Sam Darnold to succeed. He is their, and obviously Joe Douglas is there now, but he is their young quarterback, and they want him to be the guy. They're not going to bring in a Cam Newton. You see this happen all the time across the NFL. I'm actually surprised it's not talked about more often.
It's weird to me because Darnold goes down last year. The Jets don't have a backup. Their season's ruined.
No kidding. Look at Tennessee. Look at Tennessee. Yes. I've been saying that they should bring in Kaepernick. Really, any veteran backup. They don't have anyone behind Tannehill. Guys, Tannehill's been injured like three times. He was out for an entire season. They do not have a veteran backup quarterback at this point.
Help me understand what Rod Woodson said, because you are giving credence to what Rod Woodson said when he said that coaches do not want to hire Hall of Famers as assistants because they don't want another alpha in the room.
Well, you know, coaching is very different from quarterbacks. I'll talk about the quarterback room. I think what he's describing, that phenomenon of like the alpha, is very true about quarterback rooms. You know, there's a reason why certain journeyman quarterbacks get backup jobs over and over in the NFL. And yes, by the way, race does factor into it. But it's also, I've talked to coaches about this. I've talked to guys who work with quarterbacks. They don't want a guy to come, unless it's explicitly a situation where they want a competition, like the Bears want a competition right now. They don't want a guy to come in and compete with the starter. They want him to be his like guy, his entourage in some ways, his support system. And the qualities that teams look for in backup quarterbacks are often disconnected from the qualities it takes to win on the football field.
So how do we refer to you now? Is it NFL analyst, ESPN senior writer? How do you want to be introduced from now on?
The jersey I'm wearing says NFL analyst.
All right. Ooh. NFL analyst, Mina Kimes. She's been promoted. She has graduated to the big leagues.
Was I in consideration to replace you on ESPN Daily? Was I ever a consideration? Or
I thought you were hosting the nightly.
We'll get into that.
I mean, yes.
We're inching closer.
As soon as
once Billy's ready.
Yeah, as soon as Stugatz finds someone to make it for him and do all the work. Mina, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
That is it is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NFL has shortened its 2020 preseason to 2 games, canceling weeks 1 and 4. Brian Windhorst reports that operating the 3-month completion of the NBA season at the Walt Disney World Resort will cost the NBA more than $150 million. My goodness. And finally, fart is one of the oldest words in the English language. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Let's put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Did you know that Thabo Cephalosha was a rocket? Because I learned that Thabo Cephalosha was a rocket when he opted out of the Orlando bubble, because what he had to be thinking to himself, wait a minute, I'm not going to go over here and stand in this corner where the coronavirus might be and watch James Harden dribble. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to just sit here and watch Russ. Right? Like, that has to be the least fun team to play for if you're not Russell Westbrook or James Harden, right? Like, is there another one? Are the Lakers less fun because everything is moving through Anthony Davis or LeBron James? Because LeBron James at least involves people. Like, in terms of being teammates with guys, do you think that there can be a job less fun than being teammates with the playing styles of Russell Westbrook and James Harden that require enormous usage rates?
No. I would say LeBron, if he has the right people, I think it's a lot of fun. Like those Heat teams, they had so much fun. He had the right teammates, the right people around him. LeBron was fun. The team had fun. So I would say, yeah, James Harden. Like, I'm going to go and risk my life, risk my health to watch that man dribble in a corner?
LeBron, and I'm sure you've seen the news out there, J.R. Smith, it's being formalized, like he's going to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I saw people on The Jump, and The Jump does an excellent job of breaking down the NBA, but I couldn't help but laugh and hear people describe J.R. Smith. This is a guy that has been to the NBA finals.
He won't shrink in the moment. His experience is forgetting the score in the finals.
They said this. I think it was Windhorse. It said this with a straight face. He won't shrink in the moment. And I'm like, really? Because it's become the most famous J.R. Smith moment. Him shrinking in the finals and forgetting what the time was.
What he won't do is he won't think in the moment. That's what Windhorse should have said.
That's what that is. That is more. It is so much more accurate. Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Will J.R. Smith think in the moment? Yes or no? Because I actually don't think, Mike, I do believe this is an important distinction that we're making today, as all of our analysis is about rhyming words with each other, whether it's Danger Russ becoming Ranger Russ, or I do believe the gift that J.R. Smith has is he won't shrink in the moment because he's incapable of thinking in the moment.
It might not be good in the moment.
and he's just going to keep putting up jumpers. Like he's not going to have any fear of putting up jumpers, except when he forgets the score and the situation and he runs out the clock and LeBron yells at him on the court. Yeah. I'm still of the opinion that LeBron James is better at forgiveness, given what happened with Zan Gilbert and J.R. Smith, than he is at basketball.
And now he's got waiters and J.R. Smith. You know, they always say this about gunslingers in the NFL. He has a short memory. You know, shake off that interception. Apparently, J.R. Smith's memory is shorter than 24 seconds because he'll forget the shot clock situation.
From this standpoint, it's going to be fun. It's kind of like opening day Major League Baseball, where you're going to watch an NBA team play in the playoffs and be like, when did they get that guy? Like, that's going to be fun for at least a couple of days.
Have you seen the way that LeBron is trying to change the math, in that if he wins one with Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith, does that really count as two NBA titles in Sugatz's personal record book? Giannis has already gone out publicly because this serves Giannis. This will be the hardest championship anyone has ever had to win.
It's you know what? I heard him say that, and he might be right. I mean, seriously, they had home court advantage. That has been taken away. There are no fans. I do think that's a big
factor. They were overwhelming all regular season.
Yeah.
Under normal conditions, they were overwhelming everyone. I just want you guys to absorb, though, that LeBron James is adding a player to his team that forgot the score in the finals, and it is not the player on his team that had a seizure on an airplane because he had too many edibles. Mm-hmm. I just want you to absorb that those are not the same player. And also JaVale McGee is on that team as well. Champion JaVale McGee, who also will not shrink or think in the moment. Champion.
Correct.
JaVale McGee. And yet, this is not the funniest basketball thing that we have happening, because I do believe that the funniest basketball thing we have happening is just the general state of the Nets, okay? I remembered the other day that DeAndre Jordan was a Net when he tested positive for coronavirus. Yeah. I remembered that, and it made me fondly remember when the Clippers and Dallas fought over DeAndre Jordan in a way that made the Clippers lock DeAndre Jordan in his own home. DeAndre Jordan is not the funniest thing happening with the Nets, because you got Flat Earther Kyrie and Kevin Durant sort of trolling the internet as an egg avatar, and yet another positive coronavirus test for a team that shouldn't even participate in this, given how many positive tests they have and that they're not very good and that they're not going to have the health of their players. I will remind you again that Spencer Dinwiddie started at the beginning of this pandemic a GoFundMe trying to raise $25 million, and the second biggest donation he had gotten was $69 from somebody who wrote that they were giving $69 and the Knicks are poopy poop butt butt soup. I believe was, I think I'm quoting that correctly. That's a thing that happened. That, so he was trying to raise $25 million and the second biggest donation came from poopy poop butt butt soup.
Fell just short, huh?
Yeah, just came up a little short.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The secret is out. That's right. Die Hard batteries are now at Advance Auto Parts, Advance Your Auto, and Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations.
We will get to Billy's obsession with Jay Cutler. He cannot get enough Jay Cutler, and there is new Jay Cutler information. The thing that has been killing chickens in his backyard, he has apparently identified it. He was using traps and cameras and night vision. We will get to the culprit in a second. But one of the things, if you've been listening here for a while, before Colin Kaepernick, Maya Moore went on a path of choosing a sacrifice that was really uncommon, left the height of her profession as one of the best basketball players in the WNBA, a champion many times over, college and the pros, because Jonathan Irons, a friend of her family, had been wrongly convicted of something with very little evidence, and she went about quitting her job to partake in social justice reform and criminal justice reform. And one of the things that happened was Jeremy Irons, still, even after she got him acquitted, even after she got the ruling reversed, she's had to wait many months, Dugatz, until he got out yesterday. He finally got out. And she explained some of this in a South Beach session, the way that the criminal justice system works. Even if they get someone and it's wrongly convicted, there's sort of a protection that the prosecution has of its wrongful conviction, and it becomes a whole thing. She got it overturned, and it still took months of stuff to get him out. And so yesterday you see the video of, and they were on Good Morning America this morning because it's an amazing story.
It is.
And she's a real life hero in terms of the sacrifice that she made, and saying that the work is so overwhelming in the criminal justice system to be done that she is vastly more drained physically and emotionally doing this than she was playing basketball. And so the video comes out. Jonathan Irons is released from prison, and Maya Moore emotionally falls to her knees on the asphalt. And this video comes out, and I'd like for you to help me understand what it is that happens here, because it can't. The answer to this can just be trolls. But when the first comments on the video are good work, but I promise you nobody noticed that she sat out the season, or the fact that people actually care that a WNBA player sat out frustrates me. And then, you know, it becomes an argument, as everything does on the internet. Y'all can't just let these women win, huh? And I'm just wondering what's happening there. Is it just simple trolling? Is that it? Is that like a new habit and addiction to some people to just start fights on the internet? Like, this is,
I don't know if it's new. I think it's been going on for a while now, but yeah, I would say it's trolls. I would say it's emptiness in your own life. I mean, but trolls would be my first place. Like, people just like to pick things apart for whatever reason, and people are just mean and frustrated, especially now where people are just frustrated and angry.
Okay, but I guess I'd go another route with you here and just ask you the question. If you can find a reason to be mad about this story, or to sort of puncture the purity of this story, again, a woman made a sacrifice that nobody listening to this and nobody saying this would make. A woman made that sacrifice and succeeded,
right,
in righting a wrong that freed a family member. May we all have friends and family as dedicated to our well-being, purity, and innocence as Jonathan Irons has in Maya Moore. Because I don't believe any of us have a friend that would do what Maya Moore did. I don't believe that you will find that the reason that this doesn't have very much in the way of precedent, she quit.
Right.
She quit the thing that she is like best in the world at. She quit this thing that she loves with, like, do you know how hard it is to get to where these people get and what they have to climb over and the nature of the sacrifice that they have to make in order to be better at competing for money?
You would think that in this particular case, this story, there would be universal applause. But Dan, finding universal applause with anything is nearly impossible. You're just not going to find it. And so the people who are criticizing her, there is a combination of emptiness in their own life. Well, they'll never achieve anything that Maya Moore has achieved, come anywhere close to living the kind of life that she has lived and led for a while now, but you're just not going to find it because people, Dan, there's always going to be people out there. They're mean. I mean, okay, but they're sitting behind a computer. They don't have to face Maya Moore. They don't have to face the people they're criticizing, but it's the comment section of the newspaper. You can write the nicest, and you did, about your dad, Father's Day, I believe, going to a baseball game, and the first couple of comments were people criticizing you. I mean, you're just not going to find any sort of universal applause for any story, regardless of how nice the story is.
All right, but given this particular subject matter that we've been talking about this month, and rest assured that corporations and America and everyone else is trying to just get back to normal after a month of noise. Can we get back to what you were used to before? Like, whatever the statements are, rest assured that all companies are morphing back into, hey, can we just get back to what it was before the month of noise? That month of noise, okay, Drew Brees had to feel like he was swallowed by that month of noise. And I believe that we are in a totally poisoned place, Dugat, when the winds blow in a way that make Drew Brees apologize three times and the people that don't want him to apologize are seeing him as a victim and a martyr. They don't want him to apologize for that. And what I would simply ask you, okay, when Drew Brees said the same thing he said about the flag a million times, and all of a sudden every black player in the NFL is calling him names, you know, an icon, a Hall of Famer, a pristine professional who has always represented the right things that you want from sports and lifted a black town after a hurricane into its greatest sports moment. What I need and want for you to absorb as the conversation gets totally poisoned on this subject is what Maya Moore did is fight against the thing that no one is willing to absorb in this conversation, which is black people feel like the government is against them. Imagine if you were walking around feeling that, because that's what China is. That's what communism is. Black people, imagine if you were walking around and the country that you lived in, you felt that the government structure of all of it, the criminal justice system, the police brutality, that it's you at war with your own government. Like, that's where this is. And we keep getting distracted by conversations about nooses and Drew Brees, because that's the safe space where we're allowed to talk about it in sports. But I want you to simply absorb what you think your daily life would feel like. Never mind if you feared going out of your house because you were going to get killed by the police, the armed branch of the government, or your kids are going to be afraid if they go out. Black people feel like the government is against them. And when the president of that government says that Black Lives Matter is a statement of hate, who am I to argue with them? Like, Black Lives Matter, a neutral statement, becomes hate because the government feels like it hates you sometimes.